Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
So now, Steve, you mentioned before we went on the podcast, the new initials for the Bucks social media is LFB.
Let's bake.
Yeah, let's F bake. And he did, and he has, and he continues to do it, and he's done it all year. What a weekend. What a week for Baker Mayfield. I was over there on Friday at the Pro Bowl. Of course, Baker was added. Because Dak Prescott withdrew from the Pro Bowl for an injury, as did Mike Evans. And, you know, he had been in Key West. I talked to him over there, and you know, him and Emily had gone down there to essentially avoid Gasparilla, I guess, wherever they live. They figured there would be, you know, some costume pirates walking through the neighborhood. And they
some
thought,
pirates
well,
looking for booty?
Yeah, pretty much. And so he said, you know, Emily's pregnant and she's due in April and there's not much she can do. So we went down to Key West, laid on, or Key, not the Keys, I don't know if it's Key West, laid on the beach somewhere. And they got the phone call, and it so happened that his wife had a baby shower in Omaha a couple of days this week. And so he was like, well, they want me to come to the Pro Bowl. So he came up to Orlando, of course, and then she was going to join him on Friday, I believe. And of course, wouldn't you know that, you know, Baker being Baker is like, you can't just go, you know, you're the third guy. So they had Jalen Hurts and Geno Smith from Seattle, and Baker was the third guy that was added late. And Geno Smith was added as well. Regardless, those are your three guys. So he's over there, and, you know, the way they do it now, like, it's not, it's flag football is the game. And then during the week, they have what they call it now the Pro Bowl games, because there's all these, you know, various things from tug of war to skills competition, different things where the NFC and the AFC compete and they earn points. And then the game is included in that point total, and the NFC won. And not only that, but like early in the week, that one of the first contests they had was the passing contest with the quarterbacks from each squad. And wouldn't you know that Baker Mayfield would win in that? He beat CJ Stroud. Of course he did. And then they get in the game, and so you didn't know exactly what the order was going to be, although you figured Hurts would start, and he did. And then they went with Geno Smith, and Eli Manning said, well, I'm gonna hold out Baker till the end, you know, because he's kind of a gamer, and so I'm going to put him in there in the fourth quarter. And so almost, you know, you figure these are going to be like a, you know, almost like tennis, like who's going to hold serve. So something was going to happen in the fourth quarter to determine the game, and sure enough, Baker got in the game. The defense got a stop, and he threw a couple of touchdowns, and he walked off with the offensive MVP. So, not a bad weekend.
That's my quarterback, man.
And the other thing that was that I found out over the weekend, which tells you all you need to know about both events, is that so the winning team, the players on the winning team, each player for the Pro Bowl games, okay? Now, they're already taken care of over there. They had this incredible resort at the Conrad, and security was crazy and all that. And so a lot of people brought their families, and it was beautiful. But in addition to all that, the winning each player on the winning team got $88,000. So what happens is you get to the fourth quarter, man, and they're like, we're playing for keeps now. You know, they're playing to pay for their relatives' trips down to Orlando or whoever they brought with them. And so it got pretty intense there, but 88 grand by comparison, every member of the losing team in the Super Bowl, whether that's Kansas City or San Francisco, they're going to make 89,000 each. It's like, wait a minute. So you're only $1,000 less if you win the Pro Bowl games than if you lose the Super Bowl. What a deal for the NFL, man.
Well, obviously they need to get players to come to the Pro Bowl,
I guess. It's a lot. I mean, it really is a lot. And so you know, it also goes to show you this, and I got to thinking about this, it's like, what a deal the NFL has in the postseason. You know, you think about these players, and look, I'm not having a telethon for many of them, but like, they make all this money during the season, right? Their contracts are what their contracts are. But then when they get in the postseason, it's all different, man. It's like you just get a set, you know, split of whatever is determined mm-hmm. before the playoffs. And if you think about the ticket sales and the television and like all that stuff, it's amazing. Like, what a deal for those owners to be able to, you know, take that revenue and not, because they're not paying, unless you have a bonus, and some did, right? If you win a Super Bowl and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or get to the Baker had a bonus to get to the postseason. But beyond that, like each game, you know, you get a kind of a set fee, and it's not close to what a game check is for somebody that's played in the NFL at least.
It's
know,
true
three,
for
four
all
years.
The sports. I mean, that's why
I know
home playoff games and making the playoffs are so important to teams.
To the owners, it's everything, mm-hmm. you know, and to the Rays, especially like when you think about the postseason in baseball, you know. That's mm-hmm. it always was for the Lightning too. And so, yeah, that's the incentive. And that's why owners love home playoff games. But yeah, so Baker, you know, nice little baby moon money for him there. Go buy a crib or something for his $89,000. But it's just so Baker because he shows up and he makes stuff happen. That wasn't all that happened though over the weekend since we last were together. There's been a lot going on, and a lot that involves Baker Mayfield, and I talked to him about some of this stuff. But, okay, so I want to say it was Wednesday or Thursday of last week. I broke a story. That's right. Hard to do these days,
again,
folks in the NFL.
Again. Hold on. Again. You broke a story again because you break lots of them.
That's true. But this one like was hard because – you know, those offensive coordinators that were rolling through here every other day, they have agents, and agents like to call the national guys, and the national guys get it usually before we do. And that's just because the local guys aren't interested in telling us anything, nor is it their job necessarily. But that aside, so there's a lot of people, you know, that came through here, Alex Van Pelt. And you started to notice that there were offensive coordinator candidates that had some – maybe previous tie to Baker Mayfield, you know, especially the last ones in. And so I found out either, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, that the Bucks were going to secretly, when I say secretly, that means they were really careful about no one finding out. They're going to talk to Kentucky offensive coordinator Liam Cohen. Now, Liam Cohen was still at Kentucky, and that's the key here, right? Because it's difficult, especially now. I don't even know, like, what the dates are and, like, what happens with recruits and things if there still is recruiting or, you know, maybe you recruited people that could decide to leave later. But college football is one of those sports where if you're going to the NFL, you better get the job, right? Or you better be committed to leaving because as soon as it gets out there, you know what I'm saying? Like, everyone's going to negative recruit and say, oh, this guy's hop. He's not going to be there. He recruited you and all this stuff. So you could lose players. It's a big deal, you know, between NIL and everything else. So they were really hush-hush about this and to the point where no one would confirm it, but I knew it was true. So we reported it during the week. And then he left town, like, on Friday, and I was surprised. I thought, well, if he's the guy, maybe he'll stay or maybe they'll announce it, and they didn't. And then by Friday morning on my fabulous trip to Orlando on I-4, the worst highway in the United States, bar none, I found out, according to my sources, not him, but my sources, that they in fact were, you know, going to contract with Liam Cohen. And then wouldn't you know it, before I could get off I-4, because it got really jammed up after a while. A couple national guys broke that as well. So who is Liam Cohen? He's a guy, and this is not the usual resume of coaches, right, and offensive coordinators. So he's been a lot of places, but he's with Kentucky, and then in 2022, he hopped over to Sean Payton and the Rams. And he was, I think, titled the offensive coordinator. Now, Sean Payton calls plays. There's no doubt about who does the play calling, right? But in as much as he, you know, had to have some responsibility with the offense. And when Baker Mayfield came to the Rams, you know, he was claimed off waivers after he got out of Carolina and he played five games there. And so Liam was a guy that probably spent more time with him than most on that staff. And so, you know, he had a relationship. Now Baker has been, it's interesting because Baker has been talked to about these candidates, the guys that he knew, right? Alex Van Pelt, who wound up going to the Patriots, and he's now their offensive coordinator. Alex had him in Cleveland, and Liam, and, you know, and so there, it's, you know, you think about it and you go, well, what's the most important thing for the Bucs? And it's that they get Baker Mayfield back, right? And so why not include him, and why not look at guys that have, you know, some history anyway with Baker Mayfield? And so they looked at him. They looked at Rams passing specialist Jake Peets, and I mentioned Van Pelt. So there's a good three of them. And they were, you know, Peets and Liam were the two guys that were in last, and Cohen was the absolute last interview they did, and I think that was intentional, you know. But he got the job. Don't know exactly, you know, there's some carryover because what Baker did with the Rams is sort of similar to what Shane Waldron did in Seattle that Dave Canales then took to Tampa. So from what I understand, there's some terminology changes, but there's a lot of the same principles. I think Liam is better in the run game maybe, which would be good. Of course, the Bucs lost their offensive line coach and the run game coordinator. Followed Canales to Carolina. So it's a good thing. I mean, it sounds, right, like this is a guy that has a personal relationship that Baker likes, bringing the Rams offense, which kind of brings some continuity, at least to the quarterback and to the other skilled players. You know, Bake said that the terminology has some differences, but for the most part, there's a lot of carryover. So from that standpoint, you know, I think it's a smart hire. And look, this guy's called plays. But you have to also wonder, like, what's with back and forth? Like, what's going on there? You know, how did you go from Kentucky to the Rams to Kentucky, and now you've traveled as much as Baker Mayfield has? Like, Liam Cohen hasn't had a permanent home in 4 years either.
Well, so but maybe, he did go back and forth. He didn't go to four different places.
No, that's true. Like, they wanted him back. And then, of course, you know, there was a lot of stuff that went on with Mark Stoops. And, you know, at one point he was a candidate for A&M. Like, you know, college football is just that, right? It's just you never know with coaches who they're talking to, what's going on. But, so it was a interesting hire. Don't know a whole lot about him. Don't, you know, I know that Kentucky did some special things on offense. I know he runs, he's a good, apparently he understands the run game, which is what this team needs. And presumably he might be able to, you know, decide on some of the offensive coaching positions because, like I said, they have two spots for the offensive line coach, which is very important, run game coordinator. They need a wide receivers coach. And I don't know exactly what's going to happen to the rest of the offensive staff. Like, that's something that maybe Cohen can weigh in on, you know. Thad Lewis, for example, he's the quarterback's coach. Okay, is he going to be there for quarterback's coach now? And Thad had a couple interviews. Haven't seen where he's left. So they got some work to do over there on the staff. But as far as Baker's concerned, this was a big step. And he said that. He goes, that's step one. Now, I don't know how many steps we're talking about here. But I got the feeling that step two is to re-sign Mike Evans. I think that's so important to Baker because he knows what they have on this team. Now, could the Bucs go out and draft a guy? Yes. Could they sign one in free agency? Sure. But his chemistry with Evans was pretty damn good. You know, the guy led the NFL or tied Tyreek Hill for the lead with, you know, 13 touchdowns, and he had, you know, 1,255 yards. So, he's not slowing down at 30. What kind of a deal do you give him? And if you do, do you have enough money to get Baker Mayfield? And what is he looking at, right? I think he's looking at a hell of a lot of money. I really do. I've thought about this, and I've talked to some people around Baker and elsewhere. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, the salary cap goes up every year, and there are guys whose deals are going to be up soon, you know, and we're going to see significant increases in their salaries at the quarterback position, you know. And when that happens, whoever gets the next contract is going to be leapfrogged in a year by a lot. And so you look at kind of where Baker stands. I think conservatively you're talking about probably north of $35 million a year, but I would say $35 million a year.
Well, what did Geno Smith get last year?
Well, he got closer to 30.
30, okay.
Yeah, and 27 and a half, 30, right. Somewhere in there.
Baker came in and did kind of the same thing, but won a playoff game.
That's true. He went a step further, yeah.
I mean, you know, he not only, you know, took the Buccaneers to a better season than Tom Brady had the year before.
Right.
And had a great season, ended up in a, you know, filling in the Pro Bowl, but he won a playoff game.
Yeah. 13 minutes from a championship.
Like, $35 million is not out of the realm of possibility for him.
No.
Some team would pay him that. Easy.
Well, and that's the other part of this is, okay, some team, right? Like, mm-hmm. And we don't know because we're not in the discussions with, say, Raheem Morris. Like, and here's the other thing. So the Rams, you know, they had Raheem Morris hired one of their guys too. And one thing I know is that Raheem and Bake get along great. Of course, everybody gets along great with Raheem. But now, what are the Falcons going to do? Now, I hear somebody told me that they didn't believe that Arthur Blank would go for a Baker Mayfield. Not because it's Baker, but because they've kind of been there, done that. Like, I think they're looking for their next guy that's going to be their Matt Ryan, right? That's going to be there for a long time that they draft and develop. It's not Desmond Ridder. I think that's been proven. So does Atlanta go back in the draft and try to find somebody like, you know, that they can build around? And I just got the sense talking to some people that's the preferred method that Blank would like to have, you know, as opposed to, you know, they tried, you know, Taylor Heineke was there. You know, they've done this. So is Baker their guy? I don't know. Minnesota is going to lose Kirk Cousins. Yeah, maybe. You know what I mean? Like, maybe. They've got some great receivers. They certainly aren't that far from being a real contender, you know, for that division. The Detroit's really, really good. But is there really a lot of teams, you know, that is going to put Baker at the top of their list? I don't know that. You know, I mean, we've talked about Houston. I think, you know, for Mike Evans, Houston makes a ton of sense. But I don't know where else Mike Evans is going to go, you know. Like I don't know that Houston's going to want him. I just don't. I think he's going to have to go someplace though where they're not paying the quarterback $45 million a year, you know. But Mike could ask for in excess of $22-23 million a year, you know, easily, and probably get it. And there was a story in the Houston Chronicle that says it's going to be between as much as $30 million. Which I don't think it will be. I think the Bucs were very short-sighted in not extending this guy, you know. And for whatever the reasons, and it's, you know, hey, we had a lot of salary cap issues last year. I get it. He signed a 5-year deal, so that meant that he was going to be 30, and who knows how much more is left in the tank. Like, there's a lot of that I get. But he went out there and hung 1,255 yards and led the league with 13 touchdowns. Okay, you were wrong. Okay, like whatever you thought, the Bucs thought, they were wrong. He's got a lot left in the tank. And furthermore, if you want Baker Mayfield, you probably would have much better success, regardless of what that contract says. And ultimately, it's about the money. But you'd have a lot more success if you were able to get Mike Evans back too. And they have ways of doing all. They have ways of doing all three. They do. And, you know, everybody says, well, the priority has to be, what about Antoine Winfield Jr.? Okay, what about him? You got a franchise tag, and it seems like that would be a way to go if you can't reach a long-term deal because the franchise tag for the safety is only like $15 million. I say only. This is not my world, but $15 million is pretty good for a franchise tag. But what if you could sign Antoine Winfield Jr.? And what if you could use that franchise tag on Baker Mayfield? Now, that franchise tag is going to be about $36 million. I think he's going to get every bit of that. I really do. I think anything – I would be surprised, personally, just in having talked to the people I talked to and knowing where the salary cap is headed and knowing in a year from now what the contracts of, say, Dak Prescott or Trevor Lawrence or some of these guys is going to be, right? You're talking – they're going to be $60 million if they re-sign Dak Prescott. $60 million. I think you're going to look back and say $35 was a steal. You know, if Baker can play the way Baker played last year. And of course, he's looking for continuity and he's looking for a home and, you know, he likes the organization and there's no BS. It's all about winning and yada, yada. But I think that's where it's going to go. So there... But there's ways to do all three of those guys and still talk to Tristan Wirfs, who's already under a fifth-year option. I don't, you know, with Tristan, would you like to do a deal? Yeah. Do you have to? No.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you really don't. I mean, no. He could play under the fifth-year option, and he doesn't seem to be the least bit bothered by that.
Well, a couple things on that, too. And look, the Bucs took a chance going into this year, not signing Mike Evans. Because they didn't know what Baker Mayfield would do. You had a first-time offensive coordinator calling plays. You had a quarterback who's been now on his fourth team in 17 months. And so if it all didn't go well, if Baker didn't resurrect his career, if Dave Canales didn't have a good season as an offensive coordinator, you may have been looking at a full rebuild, at which point is a high-priced receiver – two of them you would have on the roster next year, worth it. And that's the risk they took. Now, you can say that they were wrong, and it kind of looks like it now, but they had Mike Evans under contract last year. It's only wrong if Mike Evans performs that way next year. I mean, that's the whole thing about it, is that...
Yeah,
at what
I mean,
point,
I get that.
At what point will his production taper off? And... it doesn't look like it's ready to, but we know at some point it will, whether it's
right.
This coming year or 5 years from now. At some
well,
point
what
it
I'm,
will.
What I'm saying is mm-hmm. that you're not going to get Mike for 1 year. And, yeah,
no,
he may maybe you let him go a year too soon. That was always Belichick thing, right? Mm-hmm. Rather that guy go a year too soon. But when Belichick did it, he would trade and get value for the guy.
Yep.
You're not getting anything for Mike Evans.
No.
Maybe a year from now you will if he signs with another team. But mm-hmm. at the end of the day, it's like, okay, you got him under in the last part of his contract, which is fine. He played mm-hmm. it out. Now he's a free agent. But if whether it's Mike Evans or somebody else, like you need another dynamic receiver in here. I suppose you could go into the draft for free agency. I don't know who else is out there in the free agent. I can't imagine there's many better than Mike Evans.
I think you're probably getting the best receiver at a best price if you sign Mike Evans. Because I think, look, every player can choose what they want to do financially, whether that. But I think you get a hometown discount from Mike to some degree. How much that is, I don't know. And that's speculation
right.
on my part.
Yeah.
But I think if it's not here or Houston, I think it's going to take a big contract to get him away. I think you get a little bit of a break if it's here and maybe Houston, only because his home is, an hour from there or whatever.
I think you're right. Yeah. And again, I don't even know what Houston's thinking. Like, that's mm-hmm. just speculation. They may say, hey, we got young receivers. We're not looking to gum up the works here with a veteran mm-hmm. as good as Mike is. We want our young guys to be the show, you know. But there would be a market for Mike. I mean, some team that
no
thinks
question.
They need one receiver to put him over the top, as great as and consistent as Mike has been, the way he keeps himself in shape, he's going to get his money.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get paid. He's going to get probably a 2 or 3 year deal. And it's incredible that he's made it to 3 contracts, because few players ever do, let alone at that position. So from that standpoint, Mike's fine. I think Mike wants to stay here. I would agree with you. I think he wants to play his whole career here. And whatever hometown discount is, I don't know. But I know that it's important to Baker to know, okay, who's our other receiver? Because as great as Chris has been and is consistent. He's down to his last year. And we saw a year ago, they tried to move him outside to protect him because of all the injuries he's had, and let's get him out of the middle of the field and, you know, the boundary and all this. But he can't, he didn't play out there very well. You know, they didn't know how to use him. There wasn't much they could do because he's not going to run by guys at this stage. And so the thing to do is just what they ultimately did do is move him back inside more. And you know what? He's a football player. This is what Chris does, right? And if he gets hurt, that's part of the game. And I think with some of these guys, and it sounds cold and callous, but, you know, you're paying somebody $20 million, you better put them in a place where they can be the most productive. You know, they'll take they've taken the risk. They've already, you know, Chris Godwin blew out two knee ligaments and still got paid. He was willing to have that happen to him against New Orleans that night, and whatever impact it's had on his ability since then has not hindered him from the standpoint of making money. So, you know what? If he gets paid again someplace, so be it. But, like, for the last year or whatever year he has left, he needs to play where he's most effective, and that's in the slot.
I think they got to figure out, you know, if it's in the slot or whatever. I mean, I think that's your new OC. Part of your deal is, okay, Mike Evans had a phenomenal year with Baker. How do we get Chris Godwin to have a good year too? Because those are really your only two big-time weapons on the offense.
That's it.
You know, Rashad White's developing out of the backfield, and that's a weapon. And yeah. Kate Otten's getting better as a receiving tight end. But,
right.
But the only two stud weapons you have at this point is Godwin and Evans.
And they're older players. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're at the end of their careers. I mean, I don't know how much longer Godwin has, but he's younger than Mike. I get that, but I don't know in terms of football age if he is. You know, if you just looked at what tread was left on each of their tires, there's probably more on Mike's because he hasn't had the knee injuries yet. Knock on wood, and I'm knocking on wood for Mike here. But, you know, you do have the draft. You do have free agency. There's things you can do. But is it something that Baker is already comfortable with? In other words, you know, Baker, if you were to say, hey, we're bringing Mike Evans back, that might affect how much money Baker would take because now he knows at least for next year he's got two guys that he's got chemistry with, especially Mike, and you pick up and you go from there. And you hope that Trey Palmer gets better. You hope that mm-hmm. I don't think Devin Tompkins is ever going to be a major threat as a receiver, but you at least have him. And then you add to it through the draft. Receivers got to become a need position on this football team. Receivers in this league make a lot of plays, you know, because of the rules and everything else. And, you know, those quarterbacks, I don't care if you're talking about Josh Allen or Trevor Lawrence, you better have somebody to throw to. And so, you know, if you're going to spend $35, $40 million on a Baker Mayfield, there's got to be more in here than just Chris Godwin. And I think the Bucs know that. But the sooner they get Mike Evans done, the better Baker will feel. Now, is Baker going to turn down $35, $40 million to come back to Tampa if Mike isn't here? No, he's not. He's going to do what's best for him. If that's his best offer and he has some stability. You know, the other thing is, like, not for nothing, and I know, you know, Baker and Emily both have been incredibly, like, resilient in terms of all the places they've been in the last 2 years. But if you're having a child in April, I mean, you know, he loves Tampa beyond just the football. Like, he really likes living here. And who wouldn't, right? And so they'd like to put down some roots. And you've got, you know, your first baby girl on the way. And so, you know, that's another thing that I think the Bucs have in their favor. Nobody works for free. Nobody expects them to work for free. But you do sacrifice a little bit of money if you have to. To get what you want, which is stability within a franchise. You got a bunch of players you really like, you know, and boy, man, the people that were at the Pro Bowl that were around Baker, he assimilates so well, and talking more to Tristan Wirfs, like, those two guys are a real pair. Like, that is a bona fide friendship there. You know, Baker didn't have his wife. She was back at Omaha having a baby shower, and so he was, you know, palling around with Tristan and his wife, and so he was like a third wheel, but they're very close, and a lot of guys I think would be disappointed in that locker room if they didn't have Baker back. And I think the franchise knows that I think they understand what he brought to them this year and that energy that he has in production. You know, I mean, he backed it up. It wasn't just a bunch of words, man. I mean, this guy played his butt off, and look how the season ended. He got to the Pro Bowl, however he got there, and he goes out there and has a great week, wins the passing competition, beats out C.J. Stroud, and then wins the offensive MVP. I mean, it's like, hey, man, the guy's a baller, right? Like, he's that dude that just shows up and balls out wherever he goes.
Well, he said he hadn't thrown a pass since the interception against Detroit, so.
It's a great line. It's true, too. Yeah. But it was interesting just to see him in that atmosphere. And, you know, I think when you know, a lot of times when they're over there, they get recruited pretty hard by players on other teams too. I mean, that stuff happens, but ultimately.
What? No. What? Yeah. Players are talking. What? You can't talk free agency until March.
I know.
You're kidding me. I can't believe it. I mean, they have this legal tampering period now to get rid of that.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. Breaking news. Yeah, I don't even know what the legal tampering period is actually about. It's just 3 days of frustration for me, I think, that, we're allowed to talk to these people, but it's amazing. All the deals in free agency are done by the time they leave the combine. Most of them are done before they get there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Bucs have, and I'm not going to explain it on this podcast because I'm not sure I understand it, but the Bucs have some incentive from a salary cap standpoint to get Baker and Mike done by February 19th. And it basically is how they can, change some future monies that they pushed, in other years forward, voidable years, and how they can reduce the salary cap number, by signing him to a long-term deal by the 19th. Because it's so many days before the start. The poison pill was so many days before the start of the new league year, which works out to February 19th. So we'll see if that's a real date. Now, I've been told by some of the Bucs front office people over there that, there's other ways to skin a cat. Like, we don't, it's a number, but we can reduce it a different way, too. I'm not clear on all that, but. But I know the people that represent Baker are like, well, let's see if that matters to them. Let's see if the 19th, because we're ready to go to work. Now, I know Baker said he hoped that hiring Cohen would kind of speed things up. Maybe it has since Friday, but prior to that, there really had been no discussions. Okay. The Bucs were focused on hiring an offensive coordinator. Like, these things usually take, they kind of run their own time frame, and we're not there yet. So you'd like to think that, they've been working at it hard. No, they really haven't. It's just kind of, his agent's ready when they're ready, and they'll be ready whenever they're ready. And then we'll know, what they think his value is to the rest of the league and to them. And if they can't agree, then he could very well go into free agency, March 13th. So there's a lot riding on it, but my general feeling is he really loves it, really wants to play again, wants to play for the Bucs. And I might just, my experience, the Bucs want him back, is that those things usually happen. Now, one word of caution. I was told that some of the offensive coordinator candidates were told that, whether it was Todd or Jason, whoever, that they really, really like Kyle Trask. So here we go, right? It's almost laying the groundwork. So if you're trying to sign an offensive coordinator and you go, okay, well, just like last year, well, who's your quarterback? Well, all they had was Kyle, right? There wasn't anybody under contract. Well, now when you ask who's your quarterback, it's, well, we hope we can get Baker back, but we really love Kyle Trask, and he's under contract. I mean, he's really improved. I think he could, it's really 1A and 1B, not 1 and 2. Like, you're getting those lines are thrown at these guys.
Open again. Competition again?
I don't know that it's open competition, but I think what they're trying to do, because that's insane, right? Like, if Baker Mayfield shows up at any day next year, everybody in that franchise knows he's number one, and there is nobody else that's number one. But for the purpose of their interviews and their conversations with other guys coming in here and them asking them questions about, well, what if you don't get Baker? Like, that'd be my first question, right? Before I leap from another job and I want to be the offensive coordinator of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it's like, well, wait a minute. Yeah, Baker was great last year. What if we don't get him? What's your plan? Well, we got this Kyle Trask over here, man. Let me tell you. Well, let me tell you what. He's in his final season. He hasn't played, right? Like, what are you selling me on? But they were talking him up.
So you're telling me when they sign Kirk Cousins this offseason, it's open competition?
No, of course not. I think if they sign, I mean, there's very few quarterbacks, I think. I just think they're trying to say, if we can't get Baker, we may go with Kyle. That's what it's going to come down to, in my opinion. You can draft a guy, right? Because the question is like, okay, where does Penix go? Is he going to be a guy that's in the bottom of the first round? Could he make it to round two? Some people think he could. Let's see what the medicals say when he gets to Indianapolis. But, like, you know, could you get a guy late in the first round? You could. You know, it's a deep draft. A lot of quarterbacks out there. Now, you're not going to get one of the top three or four, but there's other guys. So if you want to go that route, but I think if somehow Baker Mayfield winds up in, say, Minnesota, and you don't get Kirk Cousins, and whether you want him or not, you don't get him, you may be looking at like, Kyle, we're going with Kyle. Kyle's our guy, and maybe we'll draft a guy somewhere, and maybe we'll sign a veteran free agent that's just out there to back up or whatever. But that's what I would expect. I would expect them to just say, well, let's see what Kyle's got. This is his shot. Now, I know nothing. I haven't talked to anybody. I just know kind of the discussions they've had with guys that have come in here for that job. So it's interesting. But good week for Baker Mayfield for sure. Good week for Tristan Wirfs. We had a lot of fun. They won a lot of the, Pro Bowl games, competitions, the offensive line, different things they did. It was pretty impressive. He's a beast. So it was fun. It was a good weekend. You got some more Bucks news, too, and a retirement to talk about. But first, for the past 14 years, the Sco Pros of May Electric Solar, they've been installing solar energy systems in Florida, and they provide the most reliable solar equipment, the best installation methods, and service while helping homeowners cut energy costs with an environmentally friendly investment. Well, May Electric Solar uses their own skilled employees, never subcontractors. They've always offered the safest and most reliable equipment. Now, May Electric Solar offers a 30-year no-cost equipment replacement and labor warranty. That means for 30 years, May Electric Solar, backed by Solar Insure, means that your roof, electrical, and equipment replacement is all covered. Solar Insure even survives May Electric Solar. It's owned by the homeowner with no deductibles or additional fees. Now, this policy will transfer to new homeowners with no fee. This is not a blanket insurance policy. In fact, only the best contractors are allowed to be part of this program. May Electric Solar's reputation and their history of workmanship has earned them this membership. To learn more about May Electric Solar's installation and their 30-year warranty, call 727-819-2862 or visit mayelectricsolar.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Happy trails to Ryan Jensen. He has decided to retire after 11 seasons in the NFL. The last two, he did not play but one game, and that was the postseason game that they got waxed pretty much by the Dallas Cowboys a year ago. So Ryan Jensen, who came out of Colorado State Pueblo, for God's sakes, late-round draft pick, and he's made, you know, plenty of money and a lot of Pro Bowls and you know, won a Super Bowl, had a great career. Unfortunate that knee injury, I remember where I was. I remember the feeling, the sound, the screams, all that when second day of training camp in Tom Brady's last season, non-contact drill. And, you know, Logan Hall, who was a rookie at the time, maybe playing a little too fast, you know, kind of came across the inside there. And Aaron Stinney pushed him essentially into Ryan Jensen's legs. There was, he was just standing there. There were, you know, no pads, just kind of holding each other up. And it was just, you know, devastating that his career would end that way. But he had just signed a two-year, $26 million deal, so he did get paid these last two seasons, some $26 million, and he'll be fine. But, yeah, it's just a great career and, you know, a big reason why they won the Super Bowl because of the attitude and you know, and the skill that he brought to their Super Bowl team and, you know, really worked closely with Tom Brady. And those guys were really, you know, good teammates and I think a big reason why it all sort of worked. But so he's done. What else went on?
Cooch in the All-Star game for the NHL.
Yeah. Now let me ask you this, because I didn't see it, but I read about it. First of all, Toronto probably not real fond of Lightning players anyway, I would imagine, after being knocked out of the playoffs by them. But this is what I read, and I didn't see, I saw just a brief clip. So they have these various skill competition things, and for whatever reason, at some point, Kucherov decided he was out there but not really trying. And so he got booed, and I don't know all the circumstances, but I would just say, if you're going to go to an All-Star game and you're going to participate, at least give it the old college try. You know what I mean? Like, don't dog it out there. Like, that's the one thing I think that fans don't like, is that, you know, that you're not giving effort. And I guess at some point anyway, at least in one of the contests, he kind of pulled up.
Yeah, it was in the accuracy passing contest, whatever. And I think he missed the first few passes and then just kind of went, nah, I can't win it.
Yeah.
And then it was pretty much half-hearted at that point.
Right.
And kind of went full heel at that point. But I don't know if he wasn't trying at the beginning. I think he missed a few. And, you know, Cooch is Cooch.
Yeah. I mean, that's it, you know. And he didn't, you know, he didn't give one.
Now, if you skip an All-Star game in the NHL, you have to miss the next game. They actually punish you.
Skip the game?
Like, if you made the All-Star game and said, hey, I'm not going, and you're not hurt, you actually are suspended for the next game, your team's next game.
Does anybody do that?
Alex Ovechkin has done that in the past.
Has he? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, maybe it'll be Cooch's take. I don't know. A lot of people, like especially his peers, spoke really highly of him during the All-Star game and about how, you know, he should be a candidate for most valuable player.
Now, in the 3-on-3 competition, he scored a goal in his first shift, 10 seconds in.
Yeah, I saw that. That was scored. Nice.
And that tied Sidney Crosby and Johnny Gaudreau for 8 goals in the All-Star game, most in 3-on-3 play. The 3-on-3 has only been the last few seasons, but
yeah. He's perfectly suited for that because he's such a great passer and scorer, so not surprised. But
Lightning are back at practice today. They have they don't play again until Wednesday. They'll be back-to-back at the Rangers and Islanders Wednesday and Thursday night. So, okay. But back at practice today and tomorrow before they head to New York.
Baseball pitchers, catchers?
9 days.
Training?
9 days.
Nine.
Yes.
So a couple days after the Super Bowl, essentially.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, and it's my favorite week of sports talk radio.
Yeah, what, the week after the Super Bowl?
No, Super Bowl week.
Oh,
let's go to Radio Row where we're going to talk to some player no one cares about so they can hawk their products that nobody cares about either.
Well, now, they're not all people you don't care about. Some of them are okay.
There are a handful, yes. But,
overall,
Radio Row at the Super Bowl is the most overrated thing ever. And it's bad radio. And I've seen the ratings over the years to prove it's bad radio.
Well.
Anyway, I digress.
You're going to hear a lot of it locally, I can tell you that.
Yes.
The other thing that's weird is that, you know, some of the people that go out to Las Vegas are from Tampa anyway. You know, and I'd be out there at the Pro Bowl and then be like, or the Super Bowl and be like, coming up next, Derek Brooks. Derek Brooks is here anyway. It's what, you know? It's kind of like I have to go to the combine to talk to the head coach and the GM. You know, like, why am I going all the way up there when he's 30 minutes away? I don't know.
But I always like it when it's, you know, all right, we're at the Tampa Bay Sports Radio, or, you know, pick your city, wherever city you're in, don't matter. Coming up next, Bill Romanowski. Huh? What do I care what he has to say about anything?
Oh, well, he's got this new product he's pitching, so.
Yeah.
I got this Fruit of the Loom underwear I'm pitching here I need to talk to you about.
Yeah. Coming up, we got Jerry Rice on. Well, Jerry Rice is Jerry Rice, but, you know, sleep apnea machine. I don't know. I know that, and I know Jerry, so he's got, apparently he's got like seven appointments that he has to make for various things that he's doing. But yeah, it's that week. And you know, the other thing about like Las Vegas, you know, Las Vegas has always been a place where a lot of people go during the Super Bowl because they like to gamble. I was listening to Reggie Miller. He was asked by Dan Patrick the other day because apparently Reggie would get a bunch of friends and he would, go out to Vegas every Super Bowl. He goes, I don't know, I want to go this year because then everybody's there. But Vegas is Vegas whether there's anything in town or not, right? Like it's the casinos, the shows, like that's the thing. And so I'm curious to see just what people think of it ultimately because it's, you know, I know they're putting the teams out 25 minutes away, but it's gambling, it's, you know, this and that, the you know, it's always Vegas. And I wonder if people will enjoy it or it'll just be like a trip to Vegas with a game at the end. I'm wondering
if you go out to Vegas for this week, which is already a higher priced week.
Yeah.
Normally because they get such a crowd for the Super Bowl, if the prices don't just go astronomical. And those that just go out just for the gambling part in the week, if it becomes, you know, not even worth it.
Well, and that's what Reggie said. He didn't want to go, not because of the money, but he just thought, he goes, then there's going to be a bunch of people there that you know, it's their fans. So to give you an example, my wife went out there for business for a couple days. So early this week, like today and tomorrow, like you could stay at one of the major casinos, hotels, and it was like 85, and I can't even stay anywhere for 85, 100 a night. I kid you not. By the end of the week, it's that same room is $1,250 a night. It's like, wow, that's a variance. But no one's coming in, you know, for the Super Bowl. And if you think about it, so you're a convention city, so nobody would have booked anything the week of the Super Bowl for anything other than the Super Bowl, right? Like you're not going to go, hey, we're all, you know, from United Health Insurance, we're all going to have our convention out in Vegas. Oh, the week of the Super Bowl? Nah, probably shouldn't do it then. Right. So what happened was all these hotels, these first 2 days are pretty much empty and you can stay there for almost nothing. But then by Wednesday, it all changes quickly. And it's going to be a very expensive Super Bowl. I think they said already tickets are as high as they've ever been. So interesting place. I'm not, you know, Vegas is Vegas, whether there's anything else going on or not. I mean, there's some big shows. So in those big hotels are always jammed. So I'm not sure what to expect from this one, but two good teams. We'll be talking about the Super Bowl this week, what it means to Patrick Mahomes. I heard some nonsense about Mahomes. Oh, by the way, did you see his dad was arrested for a third DUI?
Oh, man.
Just terrible. Of all the timing is awful, and then, of course, having had that happen to him three times is awful as well. But, yeah, there's just a horrible headlines, at least he was taken off the road and there was no accidents and no one was hurt or anything like that. But just really, you know, just a bad headline for Pat Mahomes. And I'm sure he's going to be asked about it plenty of times. Maybe he'll shut it down. I don't know. But so anyway, we'll have Super Bowl coverage to talk about this week. Get your mailbag questions in. You can send us. I know people have. I got a bunch already about Liam Cohen and other things, Baker Mayfield. Check out the article on Baker Mayfield on TampaBay.com as well. A couple of them in there, including whether you know, Baker loves Tampa, but is he going to love the offer that the Bucs are going to give him? That's on TampaBay.com. But send your mailbag questions in to us on Twitter. That's at SportsDayTB. Reach me at NFL Stroud, or my email address is rstroud@TampaBay.com. For Steve Verstick, I'm Rick Stroud of Tampa Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.